Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes about purpose in His presence. Purpose in His presence. And I had a very interesting thing happen to me about 2 weeks ago, which I won't get into, but this thing that happened to me made me realize I desperately need to dive into the Old Testament with lots of time and energy put into it, because I need the Old Testament in my life. Amen? So in this process of really diving into the Old Testament, I ended up in Joshua. So if I could, I want to start there tonight. Joshua 1, verse 1. Purpose in His presence. I only have just a few points. Hopefully we'll be out of here before 2. I'm just kidding. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all of this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess." Can somebody say amen? So point number one is the people. The people. Moses was a great leader. Not perfect, but he was a great leader. The Word of God says that God speaks to His prophets in dark speech and in visions, but not with my servant Moses. My servant Moses, I speak plainly, as a man speaks to a man, face to face, pinim to pinim, right? He's a great man. Delivered the precious people of God out of Egypt. Thank God I am no longer in my Egypt place. Parted the Red Seas. Fed from supernatural provision of manna from heaven. From quail, water out of the flinty rock. His hand was healed of leprosy. I mean, this man had some miracles behind him. Right? And the people, I firmly believe, to a certain extent, loved Moses. The reason I've come to this conclusion is because when he died, they spent weeks and weeks and weeks mourning his death. Everybody with me? And then God comes to Joshua and says, "Joshua, you are going to do what Moses could not do, and you're going to take my people to the promised land that I told them they would have." Now, as a young man myself, I cannot imagine being in poor Joshua's shoes. My spiritual father has just passed away. The whole camp is in disarray. Everybody's crying and mourning, and it's just a complete mess. And God comes to you and says, hey, just so you know, the very thing that your daddy couldn't do, you got to do. Okay, God. You know, when your voice gets high pitched, just, you know, you're questioning a little bit. Are you with me? Purpose in his presence. See, God is all about his people. Amen? God loves his people. I firmly believe we are his people. God will make a way for you and bless you, for instance, with Joshua, because his purpose was bigger than himself. Are you with me? His purpose wasn't Joshua and the great prophet Joshua and the great battle axe Joshua and the great giant killer Joshua. His purpose was bigger than Joshua himself. His purpose was to take God's people to go somewhere. His purpose was to deliver him. His purpose was to do what Moses could not do. I'm here to tell you this evening that God loves his people. Now, understand. Is it feedbacking out there? Because I feel like it's different when you walk there. Because it's like ringing in my, it sounds good? Praise the Lord. If your purpose is bigger than you, God will begin to bless what you're doing. See, we gotta learn to begin to pray bigger prayers. I firmly believe the vision that was given to Pastor Alex for this church, I firmly believe that's my vision as well. Amen? I am connected to this ministry. I am a son in this house. That means that his vision now becomes my vision. That means that the vision that was given to Moses, guess who takes it? Joshua takes it. That means his vision becomes your vision. That means that when God says you are called to take the fire of God to this city and this nation by teaching and demonstrating his love and power, guess who that's for? Our prayers got to be bigger than us. Our prayers got to be bigger than the purpose that we put in just ourselves. God is after his people. If we can switch our mindset and stop praying and focusing on the little and realize I don't have to be a spectator any longer. I can be a partaker of what God is doing. I don't have to be a bench warmer. I don't have to just fill a seat at a church, but I can be a part of what God is doing in this region. If God is going to send revival to Vero Beach, I can't do it alone. Pastor Alex can't do it alone. Jimmy can't do it alone. Rodney can't do it alone. Every single person has got to grab this revelation that God wants his people. He wants his people. And when you begin to focus on his people, purpose begins to align in your life. Amen? Are we going to get somewhere? I surely hope so. Point number two is the promise. It's the promise. I'll come back down. The promise. Stop coveting the property. God promised Joshua, you will inherit the land of your forefathers, that with which I swore to them. Don't focus on the land. Don't covet the property. Covet his presence. Don't covet the property. Covet his presence. Because if you would covet his presence, you'll inherit his property. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto thee. Listen. I wrote this, and I'm going to have to explain it. Don't be comforted by his presence. Be comforted by his presence. Are you with me? That's the difference between gifts and glory. Okay, all right. See, the only thing consistent in your life, the only thing that will be consistent, the only thing that is constant in your life is the presence of God. That is the only thing. See, the promise was, I will go with you. That was the promise. The inheritance came after. See, if we focus on the promise of He is with me in the good times and the bad, purpose begins to align in our life. I will be with you. I will go with you. Wherever your foot shall tread, you will take that ground. I'm going to go with you. Amen. We're going to get somewhere, I promise. The promise. Point number two. Focus on His presence. Focus on Him. And He will just begin to make a way where there doesn't seem to be one. Now, I don't want to jump ahead. Okay. Realize that if you put your focus on anything else in the world, if you don't lean on His presence and you lean on something else, that something else will get stolen from you at some point or another. There is nothing constant in this world other than God the Father and His presence. He is constant in my life, and He needs to be, whether you feel Him or not, because we don't go by feelings. We walk by and not by. Amen. Point number two. Point number three is the priority. Very short word tonight. It wasn't in my living room, but I'm flying through it now. My poor dog has heard this four times. Where is your priority? First things first. Pastor's been preaching on this for the last 3 weeks, a series. It's been amazing. I've absolutely loved it. Where is your priority? What are you putting first in your life? Okay, I got another one. Nobody wants to be loved for what they have. No one wants to be loved for their financial status. Nobody wants to be loved for their physical appearance. I mean, I like hearing about it, honey. I love it when you tell me I look handsome. It makes me feel good. But that shouldn't be the basis of my love. Nobody wants to be loved for what they have. They want to be loved for who they are. And the truth of the matter is that if you love me for who I am, you can have what I got. Is that not what God is saying to us to check our motives? If you would just love me for who I am, I'll give you what I got. Divine purpose. Aligning ourselves in divine purpose. See, when we get that revelation of God, I want you for you. I don't want you for the gifts. I don't want you for the inheritance. I don't want you for the property. I don't want you for the possessions. God, I want you because I love you. God, I want you because in your presence there is peace. In your presence there is healing. In your presence there is transformation. God, I want you for you. If we would catch that revelation, He's saying to you tonight, I'll give you the property. I'll give you the inheritance. I'll give you the destiny. I'll give you the purpose, but love me for me. Covet His presence. What is your priority? When you get up in the morning, what is your priority? Is it Instagram and YouTube and is it your job? Is it your kids? Nothing wrong with loving your kids. Nothing wrong with them being high up on the list. But what is your priority? God's saying, I want to be your priority. I want to be your priority. When you wake up in the morning, I want to be your priority. When you go to bed at night, I want to be your priority. If you would just get in my presence, I'll give you a purpose. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have a purpose. I have a purpose. Declare it, I have a purpose. Point number four. The purpose. Understand God will use anybody to fulfill his purpose. It's not a select few. It's not just the anointed pastor. It is not just the select top tier personnel. God will use a tax collector. God will use a Pharisee. My God, he'll use a donkey. He'll use that lowly commercial fisherman that was like doubting Jesus the whole time when he put his net on the other side of the boat. Jesus, I've been fishing all night. Do you know who I am? He'll use anybody. All you have to be is faithful and available. Does that sound familiar? Faithful and available. See, if you are in his divine purpose, he will protect you. Why? Because he's protecting his purpose. Okay. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. If you walk in his purpose, your enemies become his enemies. If you walk in his purpose, those who stand against you are really standing against him. If you walk in his purpose, that sickness is whose? And guess what can't happen in the kingdom of God? Are you with me? Hezekiah was prolonged. Can we go to 2 Kings 20 and 1? This is powerful. Watch this. It says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and the Isaiah prophet and Isaiah, y'all pray for me, the son of Amoz went to him and said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. I promise you, in those days, if the prophet comes to town and says, listen, Buteru, get your affairs in order and kiss your wife goodbye, you gonna die. I hate to break it to you, but you gonna die. Your days are numbered. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, watch this. Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. In other words, I have followed you, I have been obedient, and I have been in your purpose in my life. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the court, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah that the leader of my people, thus says the Lord God, the Lord God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, and surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you from this city, from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake. If you walk in his purpose, divine protection is yours because he protects his purpose. If you walk in his purpose, divine provision is yours because he'll provide for his purpose. If you will walk in his purpose, it's yours. It's yours. See, the problem is, though, is we spend too much time praying for my plan. If we would stop spending so much time trying to convince God to bless my plan and start asking God to get me in line with his plan, I wouldn't have to worry about the blessings because they just come, they flow naturally. Okay. Point number five, the provision. This is so good. This generation has been provided for in a wilderness for 40 years. They've been sustained on manna from heaven. But God says, provide your provision. Can we go to Joshua 1 verse 11? They've been in the wilderness. God has been supernaturally sustaining them. They haven't popped a mac and cheese in the microwave in 40 years. They haven't grilled nothing. They haven't had a barbecue in 40 years. God has just been manna from heaven. It shows up at the tent. Amen? And in verse 11, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan. Go in to possess the land which your Lord God is giving you to possess. The provision. When manna ceases, you must begin to prepare. Okay, let me explain it a little better. When it ceases to be easy, it doesn't cease to be. When it ceases to just fall in front of you as manna from heaven, when it just stops happening easily, it doesn't mean it stops happening altogether. It just means you got to prepare. That with which is easy is always temporal. Have you ever noticed if you get $1,000, if I write Blake $1,000 check or hand him $1,000 in cash, Blakey will spend that $1,000 so fast. I mean, just gone, baby. Maybe I should have used Jakey. Are you with me? But if he gets his hands into it, and he gets some sweat equity into it, and he gets $1,000 for himself that he had to get behind a shovel or sell 1,500 insurance policies or whatever it is that you do for work, if you had to go out and get that $1,000 for yourself, all of a sudden, you won't make that go away so quickly. That with which is easy is always temporary. Are you with me? See, there comes a time in our walk as Christians when we have to realize and we have to recognize that we can no longer go on being just a bench warmer in the church. There comes a time when we have to realize that I am no longer a spectator of what God is doing in this region. I want to be a partaker. At some point, you got to get your hands in it. At some point, you got to start to prepare yourself. At some point, you got to stop allowing God to just drop it in your lap, and you got to get up and go do something. You got to get up and go get it. You got to get up and get your hands in it. You got to get up and get involved. Get invested. The minute you get your hands in it, you get invested. You get sold out to the vision. Are you sold out to the vision at Oceans? If you are, get your hands in it. Get your hands in it. Prepare. Get your hands in it. Get your hands in a U group. Get your hands in the worship team. Get your hands in serving. Get your hands in volunteering. Get your hands in it. Get involved. Get plugged in. Get invested. I'm sold out to the vision. I want to see revival. I want to see it. Get your hands in it. Get invested in what God is doing. Because watch this. Put it back up. Put it back up, please. Put it back up. Prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Get invested in it. We're at a crossover season. We're at a point where we're about to press on through. We're about to cross over and do a new season. But God is saying, you got to get your hands in it. You got to get invested. You got to get sold out to the vision. Get invested. Get invested. Point number 6 is the possession. The possession. Pass through the camp. Oh no, it's gone. I don't know it off the top of my head. I repent. Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan, go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. The possession. Divine purpose in his presence. But the possession. This is the part that we all love. This is the part that we all love to stand up and shout about and get all wild and crazy. And it's wonderful because we love this part of it. Taking the land that was promised to us. You were given legal right to possess it. But that doesn't mean you own it. If I have a family member that dies and they leave in their will a vehicle for me, and that vehicle is at their house, legally, I have legal right to take that with which is legally mine. But until I lay my hands on it, until I physically climb in a plane and across the nation, land at my relative's home, physically go to the vehicle, open the door, and sit in it, I haven't possessed it. In 3 days, you will cross over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. He is giving you legal right. He has authorized and signed a legal document to say that this belongs to you, but you still have a part to play. See, this is the thing. We've got the provision. We've got our priorities right. We got all these things. We're walking in divine purpose. We're walking in divine plan. But see, this is the thing where I get, I don't want to say upset, but maybe a little frustrated, is because it's so oftentimes preached that whenever you get in divine purpose and you get in divine will and you're walking in the will of God, that you don't have to fight no more, that he's going to fight my battles. And that's a really awesome song to sing until you're walking the walk and you realize you're at the bottom of the pit and you're like David that says, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Joshua, you're going to do what Moses could not do. You're going to go into the promised land. You're going to deliver my people into the promised land. I don't think he told Joshua about Jericho. I don't think he told Joshua about the giants. Sometimes you got to fight for what's yours. Sometimes you got to kick the enemy back a little bit. The kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by... I have legal ground. My God says, watch this. Watch this. Verse 3. Can we jump back to verse 3, please? Is everybody with me? How? How do you take it? It's real fun to just shout, by force, I take it, I snatch it, Lord, by force, amen. How? What is the promise? I will be with you. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand with you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. The God that turned the rod into a serpent. The God that parted the Red Sea. The God that provided manna. The God that spoke to him face to face. The God that provided the Ten Commandments. The God that provided quail. The God that healed Miriam. The God that operated all these things through Moses. So I will be with you. I take that promise for myself. I'll take it to the bank. I'll be that Joshua that says, you know what? As you were with Moses, so you'll be with me. And the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And I'm sick and tired of seeing the enemy win. I'm so tired of seeing the enemy have our young people in his hands. Our businesses, our jobs, our families, our marriages, this ministry. So as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Will you stand with me this evening? And we're going to pray. And we're going to tell the devil where to go. Because I believe that that promise is for us. I believe that this is a Joshua generation. I believe this is a do-it generation. A generation that says, I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines. I'm tired of being on the offense. It's time to go on the offense. I'm tired of being on the defense. You got me. Amen? Let's pray. Father, right now, in the mighty and the precious name of Jesus. Father, we declare and decree in this house tonight, Father, that our kids belong to you. Father, we declare and decree that our schools belong to you. Our marriages belong to you. Our businesses belong to you. Our hospitals belong to you. Our government belongs to you. Father, Vero Beach belongs to you and you alone. And as it was with Joshua, so it will be with us. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Devil, take your hands off of our property. The kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And Father, by your word, that means the enemy that rages against us, he rages against you. Father, we align ourselves with you tonight, and we say, Father, he has no right, he has no rule, and he has no reign in our house. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We declare and decree, Father, we will spend time in your presence. And out of being in your presence, Father, I ask that you would begin to reveal divine purpose and destiny for every single person in this house. Father, I give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for every single thing that you are doing. Lord, we love you so much. Holy Spirit, my best friend, teach us. Teach us to walk with you. We can't do it alone. Teach us to be bold. Teach us to be strong. Teach us to operate the way you want us to operate. Help us, Lord, to walk in your purpose and your divine plan. Lord, we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Father, I pray that you would bless every person as they would go their way. Lord, I ask that you would put your hand of protection on them. Lord, that your hand of favor would go before them, that they would walk with your favor around them as a shield in Jesus' mighty and precious name, and bring us back together on Tuesday morning for a prayer meeting. Father, I give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' mighty and precious name. And everybody agreed and said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.